I'm good.
More real Imatalk. How about this? Different type.
You wake up, and all of a sudden the world, it never ends. It does just strike you. Like, you can't trust anyone. You know? Imagine you just living happily in the Mountain West, thinking you're perking along just fine, and the next thing you know, and not only that, you're working with the Pac-12, right? You got the scheduling agreement, whatever else, right. And the next thing you know, they're stabbing you in the back. They were, of course, just stabbed in the back by their old friends in the Big Ten, who left for the Big Ten. It is savage. It is absolutely savage. It is. If you ever wonder whether people are intrinsically good or not, right? You think like, how do they, in the wild, like, how do they act? Well, they act like universities, about as bad as you possibly could imagine. Just going for greed and self-preservation, and it's just, and it's a remarkable thing.
Do we think that the Pac-12 learned their lesson, though, trying to uphold all the academic stuff and, you know, keep that geographical footprint? Do you think they'll actually spread their wings and fly this time around? I would imagine that the four schools that they just added, that indicates to me that maybe they have learned their lesson.
Well, they is not the same they.
Yeah, true. Very true. Like,
who made those decisions, they're gone. So, I mean, in the end, here's the truth. I think the principal decision is, I mean, I'm not crediting the Pac-12 with how they managed it last time around. They destroyed themselves, right? And in the end, but in a perfect world, we would have conferences that make sense, right? Yep. We would have geographic rivalries. We would have softball teams that didn't have to fly across the country to play other softball teams. It's ridiculous. But yeah, now, the problem is okay, now that the Pac-12 is up to six, so it's the six pack, right? So it's they need obviously more, and there is no more really to be had out west. So unless you believe that Cal and Stanford, and I don't think anyone does, that they will leave the ACC. And so therefore, it feels like to survive, they're going to probably have to be a national conference, and they're going to have to look coast to coast. And yes, that could well involve, as people have mentioned, it could well involve your Memphis Tigers.
All right, now how do you feel about Memphis? I think more conversations need to be had. You should talk to the Pac-12 about their ultimate plan. You should talk to some of your peers that may also get have the potential to get an invite to see if they would jump at the opportunity. But if the opportunity presents itself, what do you think?
Well, I mean, there's two things at play. I'm inclined to say yes. You know,
sure.
Just my
anything's better than the AAC. Is that the yes?
I mean, right now, yeah. I mean, we talk about attendance among other things. Let me ask you: wouldn't the football forget a basketball schedule of San Diego State, whatever? But wouldn't a football schedule that had Colorado State and Boise State and Washington State coming in here be better than the football schedule that they have now?
Yes, but I think Boise State would be like a big, you know, people would pack the stadium for that. But like, I don't know if anybody's clamoring for Memphis, Oregon State, or Washington State. I do think there would be marginal moves. You would definitely sell more tickets. But I don't think it would be some, you know, it wouldn't be like if you were joining
like
the Big 12.
The balls in here. But it is more credible than what they have now. What they have now is killing them. But anyway, so I think there are two issues. One is, it's pretty clear to me that if you actually, is it the paradise? Is it the answer? Is it, you know, that what you everything you've been hoping for if you went to some new? Of course it's not. What it is it's a better lifeboat. Like you're in a lifeboat, and your lifeboat has, you know, two people who can row in it, and the rest are just lying there, you know, what else, dying in the sun. And there's a lifeboat right over there. It looks a little sturdier, and it's got more people that can row in it, and more sets of oars. And so you're just going to a better lifeboat. Now, if it there are things, of course, there are things you'd want to learn. If it costs you a lot of money to do this, right? Well, that's a different story. Like if you had to pony up $17 million or something, and you had to pay it, because the feeling is right now that, particularly for Boise, for example, for those schools, yes, there is an exit fee from the Mountain West, but the Pac-12 is so rolling in money from other people's exit fees that they're going to help out. So if you can do it at limited cost, I don't see why you wouldn't do it. Obviously, the piece that you would want to learn is what are the Pac-12's plans and or hopes for the future? And I don't know the answer there, and I've seen lots of people arguing that they will or won't have much leverage in terms of getting a new TV deal. Presumably, they said whatever they said. They said enough to the Boise States and Colorado States of the world to persuade them that the future is brighter there than the Mountain West. So, of course, learning what they have to offer and what they think the future will look like would be critical to this. But my general inclination is, if you are offered a better lifeboat, get on the better lifeboat, particularly because other people, the other guy who rows in your lifeboat, he might leave.
Yeah, right.
You don't leave. That person might leave. It's not like you're guaranteed. So I don't know whether it's Tulane or whoever else, but it's not like you're guaranteed that if you stay put, the teams that you most care about in the AAC are going to stay put.
So from a monetary standpoint, I looked it up today, and I don't know if you had this knowledge when you did your show today, but 27, this is what the AAC bylaws are for changing conferences and getting out of the grant of rights deal or the TV deal. 27-month notice, which is quite a long runway, and then a $10 million buyout, which doesn't seem insane at all to me.
Doesn't seem insane, particularly if you might also get help with that buyout. Right, yeah. And it's not easy for Memphis to come up with $10 million, right?
Right.
It's one thing if you're paying a massive buyout or whatever, or when you're, you know, if you're SMU and you're going to the ACC, and of course you're not taking any money, but ultimately you think you're going to get a big TV check. That's different than paying a big buyout if you don't know what the TV check is going to look like, right? But I think you would hope that the TV check would ultimately be bigger. It's not a particularly hefty buyout, and you might get help with a buyout with the Pac-12, the Pac-12.
Yeah, and I do want to just reiterate this, because I don't know if you've run into a lot of this, because I've gotten so many questions today that most of them I don't have the answer to, but I do have the answer to this, and everyone's confused on it. This is not an autonomous conference. If they were to go to the Pac-12... Right. It has been designated since April a non-autonomy FBS conference. It feels like everybody's getting their ass kicked by that detail and feeling like there's autonomy and that it would be Power 5. That's not how this would go.
Yeah, I saw it reported pretty early today, and I wasn't clear on it, but it's been reported pretty by those who would know that, no, this is not a you're not going to have an automatic bid here. So you're in a better situation for all kinds of reasons, it strikes me. But again, this is not, you have not made it to the shore safely. You know, yeah. You're still bobbing in the ocean. But it would strike me that you would likely be in a better place.
Who else would you want to see sort of go along if Memphis were to get the invite? Who else would you want to see go?
That's interesting. I don't know, from the AAC?
It could be from really anywhere. I mean, AAC, right. Tulane would be the obvious one.
Right, Tulane is the obvious one. But is one of the interesting things about this is when you can't name a single team from the AAC that you're like, yeah, they got to come, we'd have to bring them, it shows what you're up against in the AAC. Like, there's no team. I do think Tulane is in fact the obvious one. But, you know, it's... even Tulane has a certain limited appeal. So beyond that, I don't know what names have been kicked around. Have you seen any other interesting
UTSA
names
has been thrown out there. I think the obvious one that I think they left behind because they wanted to add an even number of schools, UNLV would make sense, Las Vegas market. Even though they've not had great success in basketball and football, although Barry Odom's turning that around.
They're turning their football around. Yeah.
But it's Las Vegas. It's Las Vegas in the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that makes some sense. And they do obviously have some history. They've had some history, obviously, of success, considerable success in basketball. And they've even had moments in football. You know, they've had moments through the years in football. And Barry Odom's doing a nice job there. So, sure, I'd be down with either of those two.
There is also the idea kicked around, which I think is it's a pipe dream. But Stanford and Cal getting out of the ACC and going back, we see Florida State and Clemson doing everything they can to try to climb out of that conference. Stanford and Cal just entered their agreements. They just entered that grant of rights. It would be very, very hard for them to get out.
Yeah, I gather that the travel, you know, as bad as it is in theory, it's probably worse in practice, right? So I gather that the travel really is a nightmare, and Stanford and Cal are both schools that take academics very seriously. So I can see why they might actually conclude ultimately that the ACC, you know, poses all kinds of problems. Having said that, not enough problems that you would try to bail for this. You know, these are the people you just left, and you left for a reason. And so, and obviously, it's an academic fit with them in the ACC. So, I don't see that. I obviously, that is one of their hopes. You know, two West Coast schools, that would be great for the Pac-12 if that would happen. But most of the credible reporting I've seen on this suggests that's not within the realm of possibility.
So I was thinking about this too. If Tulane or USF or Memphis or all three or UTSA all four end up going to this and getting an invite, poor Tim Pernetti taking over that conference and what that would be after those powers leave from this conference from the American, that's the worst situation any commissioner will be in the country.
Yeah, it would stink, you know, but the check still cash. I think the check would still cash. I mean, it's the nature of being a conference commissioner. He comes in knowing that if you come in as a commissioner of that level conference, you know that everyone wants to leave. I mean, it's a terrible position to be in, is that you know that everyone wants to leave. You know, I think he knew what he was. I think he knew what he was getting into here. I don't know how long. I mean, it feels like this has been in the works because they obviously have the scheduling agreement between the Mountain West and the Pac-12, and so for this year, and they were trying to extend it for 25, and then at some point, the Pac-12 just said, rather than extending the scheduling agreement for 25, we'll just take all your best schools. And so, you know, how long this has been in the works, who knows, but it feels like it's been in the works for a little while. And you do wonder, some people have suggested the timing of learning about it this week. The spotlight's a little bit on Oregon State and Washington State because they're playing their, you know, two big traditional rivals, Washington and Oregon, this year and this weekend. And so maybe that suggests the timing here. I don't begrudge them, though. You know, I feel bad for schools that get screwed and get left behind. And and so I don't begrudge them doing everything they can do to stay alive. And I think it would be kind of nice if the flag, the Pac-12, continues to fly. There is at least something viable called the Pac-12 going on into the future. I never would have imagined if Memphis ends up there, that's never the solution that we would have imagined. Yeah, Memphis is going to end up in a diminished Pac-12.
Yeah, and right? then just thinking about like the Pac-12 emblem being on the jerseys in the field,
right.
And thinking about a 10 p.m. start time on the West, right. Or Central time, and Pac-12 after dark.
If you were a player and you were knew you were looking at those trips and those games, how would you feel about it?
The late games would really get under my skin. I don't know if I've ever told you my opinion on when I like to play. I like the 11 a.m. game. Get up, kick ass, be on your couch drinking a light beer by 3 p.m. That was always right. The best for me. But you know, you look at those late games and then the travel back. I had to do that against UCLA. That would have been my freshman year, my redshirt freshman year. That was brutal. That was terrible. Having to go out there for a late game, then get back on the flight, and you get home at about 2:30 a.m. You have workouts at 7. That sucked. That was terrible. I would not feel great about it.
And as bad as it is for football, you know, baseball, softball, volleyball, tennis, golf.
A lot more games.
A lot more games for those, and they're all crisscrossing. you know, hopefully they would have a, you know, some critical mass out east. But it makes no sense that they're doing this. It made no sense that the Big Ten did it. It made no sense. Give me the old days of the geographic integrity.
Well, it does make sense. It also makes dollars. I don't know. Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. Now, the St. Jude Tip-Off Classic, let's get to that. That was a really fun announcement. I feel like it was one of the worst-kept secrets in the world, though. This is something I feel like I've been hearing about for a couple of weeks at this point. I hate to be that type of radio host, but there's some things you do have to keep close to the vest until they are ultimately announced. Really cool thing for St. Jude, for this city, and the upward trajectory of what this could become really excites me.
Yeah, on that point, I think it's fine to say this is something. Once something comes out, what happened here is there was an embargo, and the embargo actually held. No one broke it, right? So everyone knew it was coming, whatever else. And then the only time I think to say that is fine. I mean, it's obvious in my column. You read my column today. I talked to the CEO of St. Jude earlier this week.
Yeah,
so it's
right.
Pretty obvious, right? So my little pet peeve here is there are people who, upon a story getting broken or released or whatever, will tweet or will say, well, I knew that, or whatever. And if you knew it, report it. You know, like when someone else beats, you know what I mean? This is different because it's an embargo that held. I don't think it's particularly useful for a reporter to say what they knew if they didn't share it with their people who subscribe. And you hear it a lot.
Have you seen that a lot with younger journalists, too? I feel like there's this scoop culture.
I think there's an insecurity to it.
Yes, 100%. You feel like it's going to make their name. It doesn't do that for you.
No, it just, you know what it does? It means you're saying, I didn't know it well enough to report it, or I would have, and I'm so petty and small that I have to tell you that I knew it, even though I couldn't report. Like, tell me what you can and when you know it, and that'd be great. Like, that's fine. And I respect your work, and let your work stand for itself. But it does feel like there's sometimes an epidemic of, well, I knew that, you know, whatever else. Yeah. That's off track. It's a fantastic, it's unbelievable. I mean, the notion that North Carolina, which has never really played Memphis, they played in a secret scrimmage evidently in 2017, but North Carolina, which has never played Memphis, and South Carolina women, the reigning national champions, that they're not only playing the Memphis Tigers, but they're doing it at FedEx Forum, and it's all for St. Jude, and it's going to be nationally televised. It's like, come on, man, that couldn't happen. It's just incredible, and I credit the imagination, determination, the feeling of instead of like, I do feel like sometimes another thing that's epidemic in this town is to bemoan Memphis or bemoan what's possible in Memphis or whatever else. And just St. Jude, who's really the driving force here, who thought of the idea, it's just the opposite. They look at what they do is they have a, you know, some signature events. Obviously, the marathon is one. The golf tournament's another. And those events, they raise money for St. Jude, and that's great. But they also, because St. Jude is of Memphis and cares about Memphis, they bring people to Memphis. And their signature events that unfold in Memphis and bring joy and vitality and business and all of that to Memphis. And so the folks who plan these things are like dreaming up, what else could we do? And they're like, how about bringing in a world-class tournament? And by the way, if it's successful as an exhibition doubleheader this year,
right?
How about we make it a regular season tournament if it's successful? Now that is, you know, will it happen? Who knows? This one has to be successful. Rick Shadyac, CEO of St. Jude, of ALSAC, he was very clear. He said, I need corporate people to step up. I need people to buy tickets. We need all that. We need this to be a success. But they're not hiding the fact that their goal here is to make this a regular season tournament with Memphis as a regular participant and the other teams rotating. And that would be, this is great, that would even be more great. And it shows the ambition of an optimistic spirit of everybody who was involved. Just hat tip to the entire production.
Well, and I'll say, like, this is me and I'm being an eternal optimist because I am going to share the optimism with the people at St. Jude and the people of this city. I feel like it would be, like, if you, we put a betting line on this becoming an in-season tournament, I'm putting it at minus 10,000. I think it'll happen. I feel like there's going to be a good turnout for this. I think the made-for-TV event on ESPNU is going to bring in a lot of dollars for St. Jude, which is always great. I feel like this can work out. And they are not hiding it at all. You are being very truthful about that. I had a conversation with the senior vice president of ALSAC today, and he basically said, yeah, 100% we want to make this an in-season tournament. And they felt like they were just sort of behind the eight ball because they didn't have enough time to create that in-season tournament environment because people were already scheduled out, and they hatched just a little bit too late for it to happen that way.
Yeah, obviously they wouldn't be talking so openly about it, this as the goal, if they weren't confident about it, right? And so I think they are confident about it. I also think, you know, Rick Shadyac made it very clear. He said, we need corporate sponsorship.
Yep.
Because all the ticket money is going to St. Jude, but there are other expenses involved, including NIL expenses involved, so they need corporate sponsorship. And I think that the ticket sales, I think there will be real enthusiasm for this. I think North Carolina will bring in people. I think the South Carolina women's team, Dawn Staley's a star. You know,
yep.
I think they will bring in some people as well. And the challenge is, though, and this is a challenge, is that a lot of times you'll see in a postseason tournament, if there's a postseason tournament in Memphis, whatever, if the conference tournament happens here, people will look and they'll say, why are there fewer fans here, Memphis fans here, than there were in the regular season? And it's because there's no season ticket base. You know, when you start in the regular season, you start with a season ticket base, and then you walk ups you add on top of it. For this exhibition, there's no season ticket base. They have to sell all 10,000 or 18,000 or 14,000 or 8,000 or however many it's going to be. They got to sell all those tickets between now and October 15th. And so I think that'll be an effort. And I saw Penny already tweeted out a video in
yep.
support and urging people to get behind the event. And obviously, you know, there's going to be a lot more of that. St. Jude is great at whipping up enthusiasm for folks. They're world-class marketers. But I do think I'll be interested. I don't know. I don't have a prediction off the top of my head how many people will go. But I do hope people will get behind and support.
I think it'll be close. I think we can aspire to get to a close to a sellout. I really think we can.
Wow.
I think we can get close. I know it's exhibition, but
get anywhere close to sellouts when they're playing Alabama in the.
I understand,
like
they
draw 8,000 now. That's sort
if
of a
there's one
crowd.
Thing Memphians can all agree on is supporting St. Jude. That's one
that
thing that
true.
I think will bring out extra bodies.
If you could right now lock in 10, I would take it.
Really?
If I knew 10 would be the biggest crowd they've had there in years.
Okay.
You know, and this is for an exhibition game. So I would love that. I just think I love your optimism. I hope
okay.
that's true. I hope people rush out and 18,000 people buy tickets to this. That would be tremendous.
Maybe my mind's warped by my own excitement for it, I guess. Maybe that's what
I'm
it is.
I'm incredibly excited for it. And
yeah.
It also a little bit takes the place. You know, they don't really have Madness anymore, right? So it is a little bit of an introduction. Like, how great is it, too, that this news came in the wake of all the cruppiness around Memphis basketball? We finally have something, like, fun to talk about, to look forward to.
You think that was strategic? Yeah, I think it may be a little strategic.
I think it's the other way around.
No.
I think what was strategic was, can you imagine what they were thinking last week when this was,
right.
like, all the this S was hitting the fan. I think that was like, what are we going to do here? You know? And now I do think it's great. I think it gives everyone something to rally around and think about in a upbeat, positive fashion. So
yeah. And
the
other thing that does fire me up about it, we just got done talking about realignment and Memphis's placement in the hierarchy of college athletics. It does just show a willingness for the city's businesses, charities, entities in general to rally around the University of Memphis. That means something. That continues to mean something. FedEx has the NIL money. St. Jude's trying to get an in-season tournament here, get everybody rallied around it. It does show that there's continued positive momentum that I hope people continue to notice.
I've said it a million times. It's different here. People outside don't understand. They don't understand how the University of Memphis is the city's, you know, franchise. And obviously the Grizzlies are, but it's just different, you know. And it's something that I don't think is appreciated by those decision makers. That's one of the only things that can explain to me why Memphis has been left out of realignment all along, because Memphis does, both fan support, corporate support. It just means it means
more
a lot in this city. It does. I veered away from saying more. I said it means a lot in this city, and this is more evidence of this. Yeah, 100%.
100%. Well, Jeff, I appreciate it. Thanks for joining.
See you again.
Yes, sir. That's Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist. Also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show 9-11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now let's go ahead and grab a break. We'll come back, get to a trip around the NFL, the National Football League next, as we have Thursday Night Football to talk about and some injury designations.